What is your talent? No matter what it is, you have a responsibility to use it. That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. You've caught us right in the middle of a great series about the parables that Jesus taught. So many of these parables are often misunderstood, which is exactly why Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to explain the parable of the talents. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And welcome to this series on the parables of Jesus. Today, we're going to be focusing on Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. It has a parallel parable, the parable of the minas. Be sure to tune into the station to listen to it, or go to iTunes or go to our website to hear that show. But we're going to focus now on Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. And this isn't like a talent like playing soccer or being able to play music or paint or something.
No, a talent was 2 pounds, a little bit more than that. It was that much in gold or silver.
So it was a weight of a precious metal. All right, so verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. All right, so this guy, before he leaves, he gives his servants some talents, and he doesn't give them the same amount of talents.
This is interesting, and it's different than the parable of the minas, or it's also called the parable of the pounds. Because in the parable of the minas, you have 10 servants, each given 1. Here, you have 10 servants, but we look at 3, and the 3 are given 5, 2, and 1.
So what does that mean? So Jesus is the man traveling to a far country.
Right, and he's leaving, he's going to the third heaven, he'll be coming back later. And it seems to me that the Lord taught various parables many, many, many times in many different ways.
Right.
So that the parable of the minas and the parable of the talents are 2 different tellings of a similar parable. It's not that Luke or Matthew modified some parable he gave. Jesus himself modified it. In the Luke passage, it's looking at servants as though they all have the same amount of time, talent, and treasure. But in this one, it's looking at it as though you've got 1 servant that's got 5 times more ability and time and talent and treasure than another servant, and 2.5 times the second servant. So the one that's given 5 is expected to produce a lot more than the one who's given 2 or the one who's given 1, but they're all expected to maximize their time, talent, treasure.
So different believers, it seems like, are gifted differently. Certainly the apostles are gifted more than we are. But it's interesting that Jesus says here, to each according to his own ability. It's almost as if there's a prior ability that determines how you're going to be gifted.
Right. Well, it seems children are born that way.
Right.
With different abilities, God-given abilities. And, of course, the parents can enhance those abilities or hinder those abilities. But the truth is, the basic core abilities are God-given.
Mm-hmm. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents, which was the most in this scenario, went and traded with them and made another 5. So he's multiplying.
In the minas, the guy goes from 1 to 10, a tenfold increase. Here, the best is doubling.
All right. So then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. So he doubled as well.
That's equally as good. Going from 5 to 10 is just as good as 2 to 4. However, you might think the guy that goes from 5 to 10 is going to have a better reward because he's the one who got appreciably more.
Right.
The other guy's got only 40%. He's got
right.
4, and the other guy's got 10.
I mean, it's the same rate of return, but it's just a rate of return on a different amount.
Right.
Basically.
But what we see is the Lord's commendation is the same for both.
Interesting. Verse 18, but he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So that's a lot like the minas one.
Same problem in the minas.
After a long time, interesting kind of prophetic expectation that the Lord was going to be gone for a long time.
So far, we're coming up on 2,000 years. In 2033.
After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them.
Settled accounts is good because the judgment seat of Christ is a time of accounting. In fact, Philippians 4:19, Paul says, it's not really that I'm seeking the gift, but I'm seeking the benefit that accrues to your account. It's almost like we all have an account before the Lord, and what we do with our lives determines what we reap from our account.
Right. So there is, you know, some people criticize transactional, they call it, transactional metaphors in the New Testament or monetary metaphors, but they're clearly there. I mean, Jesus uses them himself. Verse 20, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. That is your call sign.
Yes.
That is how you end 50% of our episode.
I love that. Wouldn't we all want to hear
totally
that?
I want to hear that. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So there's that theme of rulership again.
And we might think, wait a minute, faithful in a few things? I've been the head of Grace Evangelical Society now for over 30 years. What do you mean faithful in a few things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the scope of eternity, even a ministry of 100 years is just
a
little blip.
Right.
It's not even one of the Lord's days. The Lord's days are 1,000 years.
Right.
It's a really minor thing to be faithful in this life, but that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. The guy who has the most, even he's still called, you're faithful over a few things.
Right.
Interesting. This is another big theme that maybe first-time listeners aren't familiar with. From Genesis 1, 26 to 29, God created man to rule over, have dominion over the creation, rule over the fish and the animals and all that stuff. And all throughout Genesis and the Old Testament and even the New Testament, there's this theme of rulership until it culminates in Christ teaching over and over again, and Paul repeating this teaching, that believers are designed by God to rule. That is our ultimate goal in life, to rule with Christ when he comes back in his kingdom.
That's correct.
And so here's Jesus talking about it right here. I will make you ruler over many things. That's what Jesus promises faithful believers.
And by telling this parable, he's telling us it's important for us to set our mind on this goal.
A biblical mindset is to want to rule with Christ.
An unbiblical mindset is trying to lay up treasure on earth.
Right.
Trying to be a ruler in this life. Trying to have a lot of acclaim and prestige in this life. We want to hear the commendation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not so impressed if we get the commendation of the world.
Right.
We want the commendation of the Lord.
So enter into the joy of your Lord. So ruling with the Lord is joy.
Right, because we were created to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and ultimately to rule with him. Therefore, the more we serve him in rulership, the more joy that will bring us.
A lot of people don't get that. They think to themselves, I don't want to be in charge of anything. I just want to sit in my hammock and just enjoy eternity on a beach somewhere.
That's a wrong way to look at it.
That's the wrong way.
It's about Jesus and us serving him in the kingdom.
And it's the promise that, you know, serving him and ruling with him is joy. You know, it's
for
joyful.
Us and for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 22, he also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.
Now, notice how the Lord's response to him is the same.
His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So even though he had less talents, he still doubled them. He had the same rate of return, and the Lord is just as pleased.
Right. So we can't compare, and we can't say, well, I see this brother over here, and he's not doing as much as I am. I see this sister over here, and she's not doing as much as I am. First of all, I don't know if that's true or not. It's hubris on my part to say I'm able to accurately evaluate what other believers are doing.
Right.
I'm not. But secondly, even if they are, I don't know their level of giftedness.
Right.
The truth is, they may be accomplishing a whole lot more than I am.
Right.
And I'm just to leave that judgment up to the Lord. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, that we leave this judgment up to Christ. But we're living each day longing to hear him say this, well done, good and faithful servant.
So, for example, you and I have a fairly public ministry. It might look like we're doing more, but there might be a mother or a father somewhere who trains up their children in the Lord. They all become believers and they serve the Lord successfully. And they might not have a public ministry, but they're so faithful to the Lord in their little area of life that they might be more productive than we are.
That's exactly right.
Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. It's like, hoo-hoo, there, aren't you happy?
This was a big mistake. Yes, it is a fearful thing to serve the Lord because we might say some wrong things. We might do some wrong things. But the worst thing is to do nothing. If we don't do anything for the Lord, we're guaranteed we're going to be rebuked. Now, this person's going to get into the kingdom, although some people question that.
But the Lord's answer, instead of saying, well done, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. And then he says, you should have done something with your talent, anything. Take a risk.
Even gotten some interest, which I think would have been at least give your money so other people will serve me. Right.
And then he says in verse 28, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents.
Okay, so there is a little bonus for that guy. In other words, he doesn't give it to the guy who had 4. He gives it to the guy who had 10.
Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
This idea of he who has more will be given, that's a principle in this life. If you take in God's word, God's going to give you more insights. If you don't, you're going to lose the insights you already have. The same thing with your ministry. The more you minister for Christ, the more it will expand. And in the last verse, the unprofitable servant will be cast into the outer darkness where they're weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember, the first two servants entered into the joy of their master. This person does not receive joy, but shame and sadness. And at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be shame for the unfaithful believer. However, when you compare this with the minas in Luke 19:11-27, the third servant clearly gets into the kingdom. In contrast, in Luke 19:27, to the enemies who were slain in his presence, the third servant was not an enemy. He was a servant. He was not slain. So this outer darkness just means the darkness outside the festivities taking place for those who are chosen to rule. It's not a statement about hell or the lake of fire or anything else. It's just saying the believer who is unfaithful is going to experience shame and sadness at the judgment seat of Christ, which will, of course, go away. But the person is never going to rule with Christ, and the first two servants are going to rule with him forever.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great description of the parable of the talents. Well, now you might be interested to know that the conversation doesn't have to end here. In fact, we have all kinds of resources that go much deeper and much beyond this radio show. The way that you, as a listener, can access those resources is by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the website, we have resources like our Grace in Focus magazine. You can get at our teaching videos. I highly suggest you get subscribed to our podcast, which keeps you up to date on our latest episodes, but also makes it possible for you to go back and listen to previous episodes. I want to send a special call out to those who are hearing us in the Albuquerque, New Mexico listening area on KKIM 1000 AM. Thank you so much for being part of what we're doing. Now, if you're in the Albuquerque area, we want to hear from you. I'll give you our email address so that you can give us some New Mexico feedback. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to talk about the Wicked Vine Dresser. It sounds like a Disney movie, but it's not. It's one of Jesus's parables. Tune in tomorrow to hear that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.